This is the book that I highly recommend you to read. The book is called Poor Economics by Abhijit Banerjee and Esther Duflo. The book talks about how the economics of global poverty is sometimes very different from the conventional wisdom that we hold. Abhijit Banerjee, by the way, figured out a lot in the research papers that I read at JPAL. He is an expert in studying educational programs, both in formal school settings as well as the vocational programs which were linked to labor market outcomes. So I made a point to read his book and try to understand what he has to talk about education and his understanding about education. So he basically starts talking about a case study of Shantarama, who is a 40-year-old widow with 6 children, and he talks how 5 of his children have dropped out of school. This Shantarama is based out of a village in Karnataka. Karnataka's capital is Bangalore, which has a lot of demand of IT labor force, and in spite of that demand, the children have still resistance to go to school, even though there are government schools and private schools available in the area. So the book starts with the question of what is exactly the problem, like why is there a resistance to education. It tries to argue on both the sides of the supply and demand, from education policy decisions, who support the supply side of the argument. He mentions how the belief that if we make good schools with well-trained teachers and somehow are able to bring the children to classrooms, the educational problems of the school of the country will be solved. He talks about why this argument might be flawed. In particular, it talks about research, a study done by Pratham in 2005, where it surveyed the government schools in India and tested more than 1,000 children in randomly chosen villages in every district, and found out that a huge majority of the children. So it tested 70,000 children, 1,000 children in every village. And it found out that a huge majority of the children did not know how to read, write, and do basic arithmetic. So it goes into argue why in developing countries the argument that if you have well trained teachers and a good schooling system, the child will eventually end up getting educated is flawed. On the demand side, it argues people argue that if there is enough demand for education, the rest will be taken care by the free market economy. Parents will decide to send their children to school if there is enough demand in the labor force. It talks about a particular case study where offshore BPO centers were established nearby villages, and those villages were, and these villages employed young women. So those villages from where the BPO employed young women, the health and education outcomes of the girls in the village increased. So it argues how parents are able to respond to the changes in the educated labor force. The book also argues about the time inconsistent decisions that parents make, how they ignore the benefits of the future in the presence of the needs of the present, and why leaving the decision of educating the parents completely on the demand side may not enable the parents to make the right decision. Then it goes on to talk about the case of conditional cash transfers, where where a cash transfer with strings attached led to increase in school attendance and decrease in dropout, increase in school enrollments, very visible increase in school enrollments. So, and it also talks about how when unconditional cash transfer was replaced with unconditional cash transfer, the results were very similar. The authors talk about the top-down education policy approach. They say how the benefits of education are not only monetary but also lead to also trickle down to health and other society, other benefits in the society. It gives particular case studies of Indonesia and Taiwan, where good schools were established and education was made compulsory, led to increase in wages that school going children received later in life. It also talks about how every year in school counts, how every additional year that a child has spent in school ends up affecting their future. The book talks about how private schools are argued to be better than public schools, and in particular it talks about how Pratham could replicate the outcome of private schools in a very low resource setting by training not so highly qualified people. It could replicate the results of private schools. This is the interesting part where the book tells how the parents have illusionary expectations of education. They have very high expectations of education, and this ends up impacting the ability of a child to remain in school. How both parent and child have the expectations of both parent and child are very removed away from reality. And therefore, if a child is not doing well at school, they realize that the child will not be able to reap the benefits that the schooling system has to provide, and so they pull them out of school. And it goes on to argue how most schools cater to children who do well at school, who are cognitively better. Even the elitist school systems have divisions of well-performing children versus not so well-performing children, and a teacher sees, or a teacher and a schooling system sees their responsibility to equip children who perform better at school without taking care of the other children, even though they might do well later in life. The book talks about why schools fail, and it argues how the best outcomes would be received by how best outcomes would be obtained by scaling down on the expectations that a child has or a parent has on the about the school system and making it much more aligned with the current reality. Also, how focusing on core competencies would lead to better education outcomes for children, and there is a lack of well-trained teachers, and in that scenario, using technology to complement learning could help us with better education outcomes. So this is the book. I recommend you to read the book.